This is the Big Biz Show. What's so funny about investing money, you ask?
Play ball.
The Big Biz Show with Russ and Sully hope to answer that. Top-rated insightful financial analysis. If you're looking for insightful financial perspective on key market strategies, keep looking. I told you, this is the Big Biz Show. Hello. This is Russ and Sully.
Hey there, live from Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. Great to have you along. We're TV and radio at the same time. We've been talking to our television audience nationwide here in the U.S.
Yes.
110 million broadcast television homes. Mm-hmm. And we stopped down for a second to pick up the radio audience because, yes, you know, when you listen to a radio station, they've got news and traffic at the top. Yeah. TV starts right on time.
TV, radio, and internet, which is why I want to talk about my paycheck right now.
Yeah, you can talk about
Tripify.
You can talk about this show anywhere, including Roku, Apple TV, Amazon, and on your mobile devices. Great to have you along today. Boy, we're having a tough market today. I'll get back to that in just a little bit. But we've been talking about having some mining companies on the air, and you, our television viewer from across the country, sent us a few names of companies that we should look at. One of our producers, Greg Todorov, took a look at a company called CanAlaska. CanAlaska Uranium.
CanAlaska. Yes, they can.
So I'm thinking Canada, Alaska. Right?
That's what
I'm
assuming. Makes sense.
They are focused on a tier one uranium target. I have no idea what that means, but here to talk to us today about that. Well, I really don't. This is why we get, see, every once in a while we get the CEO of a publicly traded company.
Peter.
And you're going to see Peter Dozler right there coming on with us in just a second. He's the president and CEO of CanAlaska Uranium Limited. And to tell us all things we need to know about the mining business going on. Peter, thanks for taking some time out this morning, man.
All right.
Well, Sally and Russ, I didn't know what to expect from you guys. I knew there'd be a lot of humor and quite a bit of grilling. I wanted to get out there with the story about uranium. It's not just about CanAlaska, but it's about uranium. And I'm an exploration geologist, so I've been looking for all sorts of minerals for many, many years. And uranium, to me, is the epitome of tigers to go chase. I'm going to show you something right here. That, you know, this light bulb.
Uh-huh.
This light bulb will run for maybe 16 days on a shovel full of coal.
Okay.
But it will run for 15 generations.
What?
850 years on 1 kilogram of uranium.
Okay. So let's talk. This is interesting. Let's
that
talk
spells
about
it out
because
pretty.
when I look at the mining sector. The mining sector is on the upswing again. Okay,
yeah.
So mining was going sideways for a long time. Now mining is on an uptick, especially in uranium. And the reason is that it is considered a clean energy. Number one, number two, it suddenly with the clean energy boom has uses just like Peter has talked to us. Peter, talk to us about the difference between energy created by uranium and energy created by coal, for example.
Yeah.
Well, you've got a lot of CO2 in the air these days. You know, over the last 65 million years, we've been measuring the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, and it's higher now than it's ever been. And I think you're seeing the response to the Earth's atmosphere on that. We're getting these hot spots, and we're getting these weird weather patterns, you know, these tornadoes coming in, big storms, etc. That's really because of the amount of heating we're putting into the air. There's lots of people who give you animations on that. But if you look at, you know, where we're generating that CO2 from, a lot of it is from where we're generating our power. So in Asia and in early days in the USA, we generated a huge amount of power from burning coal. We smelted steel. We did all sorts of things with that. And that puts CO2 in the air. Now, if you're burning gas, it puts half the amount of CO2 in the air.
Sure.
But if you run a nuclear power plant, it puts none in the air.
Yeah.
So, you know, you look at what's happening in the U.S. now, 20% of the power is from nuclear, and there are more plants on the go. But China and India and Asia are building nuclear power plants because they're cheap and they don't pollute the air. China's got a pollution problem. They're trying to get over that. So Canada provides, 20 to 25% of the world's uranium. And we're there.
So Peter Dozler is our guest today. He's a president and CEO of a company called CanAlaska Unlimited. By the way, they are publicly traded in Canada. They are stock symbol CVV. And here in the United States, that's CVVUF. I'll put that up on the Big Biz Show website, and we'll tweet that out to our listeners. But what's interesting here is you mentioned China. And when you mention China and India and Russia, you're talking about demand. And when you have demand and you guys have a stockpile or a mining storehouse, as you put it, that's a pretty big deal for you guys as a company. Talk about the international play here.
Well, that's really where it's all happening. In North America, we haven't built nuclear power plants for 20 years, although there are two just about to start up, and one old one just got started. And there are another 16 on the drawing board here. But I think you're going to see a lot of people looking at the small nuclear reactors. We have 140 in the U.S. right now. That's including the military ones. But there's about 80 public reactors. But China has suddenly rapidly come up, and they have about 25 reactors right today, but they're building about 8 to 10 a year. And the Russians are doing the same thing. Soon the Russians are going to build 30% of the world's reactors. I see a little bit of a catch-up coming here in the U.S. because just last week the administration announced they're going to help India build 5 reactors. So they're helping India build 5 reactors to clean up the air. But there aren't many reactors being built here just because of the low cost of gas.
Is there any adoption problems like there was back in the early 80s with respect to nuclear power? It seems like we got it figured out now. And I know back in the early 80s there was protests like you'd think it was the Vietnam War.
And
it seems like now it's a credible source of clean energy. Have you seen the landscape change recently?
Oh, it has changed. And it changed Three Mile Island. You know, Three Mile Island, sure. There's a meltdown, and we had one reactor that closed down. But do you know that there are 3 other reactors that have been operating for the last 35 years at Three Mile Island, providing cheap electricity?
I thought the whole thing was. Hey, we got it. Speaking of adoption, why don't you adopt a San Onofre for us?
It's a beautiful
facility, only used once. It's a fixer-upper. We can get you in.
It's really true.
Yeah.
You know, for the rest of the country, you're broadcast from San Diego. And anytime you go to Los Angeles, you drive by the San Onofre.
The Twin Peaks.
The Twin Peaks, which looks like a gal Russ dated in college.
But I will tell you, though,
didn't we use that thing for like 5 minutes? We used it for literally a day and a half and shut it down. Yeah. And now we're all paying for it to be shut down.
It's a mess.
So what's the viability for big cities? You know, obviously, you know, Canada is taking advantage of it. China, Russia, India. Why aren't we moving in this direction again?
Well, we've seen a lot of confusion in the market, and certainly the tidal wave that inundated the Fukushima power plant and caused a gas explosion, a hydrogen explosion in there and spread dust around the area, caused a lot of people to be concerned. There are a lot of people have looked at that. The U.S. reactors have had multiple tests for the same sort of immediate shutdowns, whether you explode the transmission lines and the plant has to suddenly stop going. All of these safeguards are built into modern reactors. They're very efficient. They run 24 hours a day. They give you base load. They run through storms, hurricanes, whatever you want them to do. Mm-hmm. And they give you this 3 to 5 to 7 cents per kilowatt hour electricity. Now, right now, we've built a lot of solar electricity and wind, and that's really good. You know, I'm a sailor. I love solar power and I love wind power. However, only 1% of the electricity in the U.S. is solar at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, this baseload power, you know, one of the reasons why all of the servers for the big cloud storage is in the eastern U.S. is there's cheap power from all the nuclear power plants. So people have got to look at the numbers. In the 60s and 70s, Japan became a powerhouse by building 50 nuclear reactors. The U.S. helped them do that. And then in the 70s and 80s, it was Korea with 22 plants. So it's cheap power long term. And as I said, this light bulb will run for 876 years on 2 pounds of uranium.
Peter, talk about Canalaska for a second here, because you as a company, you guys are at the tip of the spear here. So you've given us a really good overview of the industry. Talk about you guys. You're 40 years as a professional geologist. Talk about why this is the company you chose to hang your hat with.
All right. In Canada, we have a lot of minerals, and we have these uranium deposits. We have 2 very high-grade uranium deposits. They are 100 times richer and about 100 times larger than the average uranium deposit in the world. And one of them, McArthur River, it produces about 15% of the world's uranium by mining 200 tons of rock every day. Now, that's about the size of your desk. It's not a very big mining operation. It's underground. They take this uranium out, they clean it up, and it supplies 20% of the world's reactors. Mm-hmm. It's because the oil there runs about 20% uranium. And anywhere else in the world, it runs 0.1%. So we have this huge opportunity to go find more of them. And right now, we're working with that company, Cameco, and we have made a discovery right next door to their big mine. And in fact, right next door to another discovery they made about half a mile away from our property boundary. So we've got a very small company. It's only worth $10 million. It's bounced around between $10 and $40 million over the last 3 years. But we have been sitting for the last 7 years since Fukushima. We lost about $30 million value. Now we've got a discovery, and that's why I'm happy to come on the line and say, look, we're looking for another one of these deposits. We're right next to the target area, and I think we have a chance to make a lot of money for our shareholders.
Well, Peter, it's a fantastic story. We'd love to have you back because I don't think we even have a mining expert, and you certainly are. Uranium, copper, zinc, and diamond exploration. The name of that company, of course, Can Alaska Uranium, and they are publicly traded. By the way, you go to the website, canalaska.com. Mm-hmm.
And they'll come back if they can, Alaska.
Hey, thank you, everybody.
Okay.
CVVUF is their stock symbol here in the U.S. But fantastic stuff. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate that. Coming up, how will the Robert Mueller report affect the stock market? Because it's gonna.
Wait a second, man.
I don't think
what
you're
going to
realize what's going on here. Plus, a mystery is coming up.
Oh! Bishop. In the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Jump Television Studios, The Big Biz Show, our affiliates and our hosts are not registered investment advisors or broker-dealers. Our show hosts make no commitment that the purchase of securities of companies profiled or otherwise mentioned in our programming are suitable or advisable for any person, or that an investment in such securities will be profitable in general. Given the nature of the companies profiled and the lack of an active trading market for their securities, investing in such securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We profile selected publicly traded and privately held companies on our program. Most of these companies that we profile have provided compensation to Jump Television Studios and its hosts for the profile coverage. From time to time, we sell shares of the companies profiled in the open market that we receive as compensation for coverage of client companies, but never sell stock if we are speaking about, interviewing, or covering a public company who has paid compensation. Specific questions on compensation can be obtained by contacting jumptvstudios@gmail.com. Listeners should verify all claims and do their own due diligence before investing in any securities mentioned on this program. Investing in securities is speculative and carries a high degree of risk. We encourage our listeners to invest carefully and read the investor information available at the websites on the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, at sec.gov, and or the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, at finra.org.
You're born broke and you die broke. They're trying not to take the in-between part too seriously. It's Sully and Russ on The Big Biz Show.
Hey there, TV audience and radio audience. Yes. 110 million broadcast home strong, 150 radio stations worldwide. It is The Big Biz Show. You can also catch us on your mobile devices, iHeartRadio, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, Roku, BizVOD and YTA Club, as well as Binge TV Networks. We're everywhere. Kara Malik is the CEO of Biome Grow, Inc., biomegrow.com. That's B-I-O-M-E. And I remember when it was like, I thought it was Biome Me, kind of like Beer Me. And they are from Canada. But it's a Biome Grow.
Oh.
Now, Kara, I have to ask you, there's all these logos that are flying across your screen on the crawl there, Highland, Back Home, Great Lakes, and such. Explain those for us, please, because that's just part of your integrated growing, processing, and sales, isn't it?
Sure. Those are various subsidiaries under the Biome corporate apparatus. The way to sort of look at us is we're not in the business of building one massive production facility in one province and supply the entire country and the world from it. We build small to medium-sized facilities in certain provincial jurisdictions in Canada, brand local, build local, and right-size these facilities to the requirements of that province. So we're building localized brands and production facilities, which is reflected in logos.
When you were a research guy, I shouldn't say, you're an investment banking guy, and you were the first analyst in this space. What made you decide that this was going to be a vertical? I mean, let's face it. You were a card-carrying, pay-whatever, Morgan Stanley guy. And to go that far, you have to admit, either you were, I mean, people were scratching their heads, or you were just really, really, you were really pushy about this business, because a couple years ago, people were just saying, no way. Why would you, it's like legalizing heroin, for God's sakes. How did you do it?
Indeed. Since I've been in Canada, my firm's focus has primarily been on identifying trends early that are highly, highly regulated industries, and getting involved early and helping to shape the industry, which is what cannabis was at the end of the day. Plus, one of my clients used to run a water technology company. Decided to get in the weed game, and now he's the founder and CEO of the largest cannabis company in the world. So they sort of got us started.
Wow. Let's talk about if someone were to ask you, what is a cannabis conglomerate? How would you answer that? Because you guys truly are a cannabis conglomerate. How do you describe that? Or how do you answer that question?
Sure. We're a young company, but we've got multiple assets in multiple jurisdictions that we sort of form right away from the beginning. It makes things a little challenging from a management standpoint, but these are opportunities that exist today. They may not be here 6 months from now. So we've got production facilities in a variety of jurisdictions, plus retail locations, plus clinics, which you'll be hearing about shortly, plus what you're going to see overseas is what makes us really interesting in the coming months in terms of infrastructure overseas. It truly is a conglomerate in every sense of the word.
You know, one of the issues, or not issues, but one of the benefits, you know, and you've got sort of two schools here, at least in the U.S., and one of the schools is saying, you know, isn't that drug that people get high on? Well, the other one, the other group is saying, well, look, my kid was cured from epileptic seizures and such like that. I guess the question is, what don't we know about this that I guess the headline reading public should know, because obviously, you know, nobody tends to drill down as much as they should on some of these things. They read some headlines, but if you could spend 5 minutes with somebody and say, this is what you don't know about this, what are some of the first things you'd say?
Well, look, there's over 400 active cannabinoids in a cannabis plant. They all do different things. We only know what a few of them do right now, so there's a lot of research that's been done. But there's plenty of evidence-based learning that we can sort of put in front of people that say, yeah, we have certain strains and formulations that can cure you or make your life a lot better from a medicinal standpoint. They don't get you high. Some may get you high, and if they get you high, we can cut the high using a variety of mechanisms. Like,
well, don't do anything harsh. Let's not do anything too quickly.
And I guess last of all, for you, and I appreciate you being so generous with your time today, and we are going to have you back for sure. He's turning into our expert, globally.
Globally.
Karim Malik, CEO of Biome Grow. Once again, biomegrow.com. And their stock symbol in Canada on the Canadian Stock Exchange is BIO. Here in the U.S., BIOIF. I'll put that up on our website, and you can take a look at that. But short and long-term global market positioning is something you talked about the very first time you were on. I thought it was so fascinating. Spend a few minutes on that because I don't think people realize that this is as pervasive as any technology play, including cellular, CDMA, and MA. I mean, this is a big sector, and I don't think people really realize how many verticals there are to this. Talk about that on a global basis.
It is a massive sector. It's one of those rare times in your lifespan where you go, it's a massive sector from day one. And the reason for that is you're taking a black market and legitimizing and making a legal market. So you're not creating a market from scratch. You're just moving it over from one place to the other. So it goes from zero to billions of dollars right away. So that's one. Secondly, if you look around the world, and unless you're in the industry, you may not be noticing, but almost all of Western Europe now has a legal medical program on board. And other Eastern Europe's coming on board. Asia is coming on. We talked about Australia earlier. There's Africa and South America coming on board across the continents with variety of different medical programs, under recreational, maybe recreational, happen down the road. So these are, pretty much the entire globe will probably have something at some point. It started in Canada and Israel and a few other places, but it just makes complete sense to have, at a minimum, a medical program that treats things that traditional medicine is not doing a good job of treating.
Right. Well, and it's true, because that's exactly, you hit the nail on the head there. Karim, thank you so much. Can't wait to get you in studio. Once again, take a look at their website, biomegrow.com, and they call themselves Conscious Cannabis, and it really is the first conglomerate that we've actually seen here on the Big Biz Show, as we've been kind of tackling this vertical here.
Tip of the spear, as you like to say.
That's exactly right. All right, Big Biz Show continues. I have a little surprise for you coming up.
Me?
Yeah, potentially, yeah. How about an opt-in world, a world with no ads online? What does that mean?
That's what it was supposed to be.
Have you heard of B2B?
Yeah.
Have you heard of B2C?
No.
You haven't heard of business consumer?
No.
Okay, B to B, business to business. Mm-hmm. B to C, business to consumer.
I didn't know this.
Have you heard of D to C?
Ooh, that's
We're
a dirty
tell
one.
We're going to what that is.
It's you are a bad boy. Go to your room.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air. Look, we're TV and radio at the same time, nationwide, coast to coast. Some technical difficulties here in the studio. Hey, we're brought to you by Prudential. Let Prudential be your rock for retirement. Also brought to you by Rock Mobile. Don't be a rockhead like Rush. You can get a Rock Mobile plan for as little as $29 a month. Also brought to you by Bayer Advance. Better science, better results. Starbucks coffee with the bigger, dare I say, bolder flavor, Rustin.
You said it, Charlie.
Also, Bloomin' Brands, their fine family of restaurants, including Outback Steakhouse. That's authentic Australian food, by the way.
It is.
It really is. Roy's Restaurant, Fleming's Steakhouse.
Yes.
We got to try to get a sponsorship from Javier's. Have you been to Javier's yet?
No. Where's
I
don't see it on the list.
Because our next guest is such a sport, and she comes in here for the low, low price of free, I sent her and her friends out last night to dinner.
Is that the new place in Mission Valley?
Was Javier's just the most? Is it the coolest place?
Oh my gosh, it's the best.
It's a $10 million restaurant.
Where's this one now?
This one's in
UTC.
It's new
up there.
Well, for the rest of the country, they have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah,
there's like seven of them in Southern California.
Ooh.
But they spend $10 million
on the steaks.
No, on the stuff. Like, you walk in there, and it, like, there's, like, 4 million little stones on the ground.
How's the food?
Fantastic.
Okay.
Did you like
it? Oh,
here,
it's outstanding.
Was it good?
You know how I love food. I'm such a foodie.
Yes.
And,
yeah. In fact, you have a food blog, too. We should have you come in for that sometime.
Oh,
I gotta work on it.
She has a food blog.
Busy.
She's a fantastic cook, and she's an executive recruiter. For those of you who don't know who we're talking to here, Suzanne Cretal is the president of Seasoned Executive Search. She's doing the circuit here on Amy's show as well as our show a couple of times, and we're going to have her come in on a regular basis to talk about the business.
Food?
No, well, yeah, we can do that, too. But the business of getting hired. Because she connects talent with opportunity. Yeah. And we often talk, Suzanne, about when you're looking for the job, what does a recruiter do? What's the resume? How's my resume going to get the attention? What do I say? What don't I say in an interview environment? But there's also two sides of this equation, because you have the guys that are interviewing, and we are in a buyer's market or a candidate's market here. So this is why this is important. California's economy is adding jobs faster than our current housing inventory. We're having trouble as companies here in California specifically, and New York, and Texas, in recruiting employees. So it's not only is it a candidate's market, it's a candidate's market that doesn't have housing. So if you want to recruit somebody, you got to be on the good side of the fence here when you're interviewing somebody. So let's talk about hiring managers, because there's a responsibility there too.
There's an absolute responsibility. You know, candidates have options, right? And we want to make sure that we put our best foot forward when we're interviewing them. And sometimes it's about perspective. We forget about that because we're worried about getting everything together. And, we've got our job we're doing on top of hiring, right? Which is just makes our life more intense.
It's easier to find work when you have work.
Bingo.
Right.
Well,
for
it
sure,
is. But however, but she
aren't you
but,
cheating
but,
on the other place?
But she's though? Talking about though the people that are interviewing you versus you being interviewed.
Yeah, the hiring manager.
Because look, they're sitting back there in their big leather chair.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO is sitting back and interviewing somebody, and oftentimes they're thinking, well, this candidate's just lucky to be here. That's not the case right now, is it?
I don't think they do that intentionally.
No, I just think yeah, it's just, I think we all think that, right?
Yeah, we're all kind of a little self-absorbed at times, especially when we're overwhelmed and busy. And that's just the way it is when you're
hiring.
But
if you're sitting on that side of the desk interviewing somebody, it's sort of already implied that you need something, that the interviewer E needs something from the interviewer. But that's not necessarily the case.
Well, that's a mistake. That's a mistake to think that, actually, especially in candidate's marketed, right? So let me give you an example, a really horrible thing that I had to go through. Well, that's another one, but I've got a lot of stories.
All right.
So this particular one was a whopper. So I was working with a supplement company, really well-known.
Like a nutritional supplement company?
Yeah, nutritional supplement company. And they were looking to expand globally. So they needed a very specific type person to handle, you know, a
global stuff,
because it's different, right? You know, R&D in Europe is different than R&D here. You know, laws are different.
And languages and
laws.
Yeah,
all kinds of stuff. People shop differently in Asia than they do here. So we needed experts. So I found this amazing candidate. It took me forever to find her. She goes in for her final interview, and she asks a perfectly valid question to one of the people interviewing her. And she said, how do you like working here? Very simple.
And that's a great question.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I would have asked the receptionist on the way in.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to get a little open air indicators?
Yeah, how's that picnic in the
What's
summer
that black
for all the employees
there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this person proceeds to say, ugh, I don't think I'm going to be here much longer.
The hiring manager says that.
It wasn't a hiring manager, but because, you know, often when you go in for a final interview, you have multiple people interviewing.
Right.
So this was one of the hand-selected people by the hiring manager
who's
significant within the organization, telling my candidate that they're not going to be there much longer because the company has changed over time and they're just not that interested anymore.
Wow.
So when she told me that, you know, mouth drop, complete open, just I was like, okay.
Let's say it was for, and the company doesn't need to be named, but you said it was a big company that we would recognize, and it obviously has got, let's say a good reputation in the marketplace. Is that enough to keep you from going to work there?
Necessary? It can be, absolutely.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily I was able to work through that, but because you got to remember, guys, companies go through transitions.
Well, yeah.
An organization that is 50 years old, 20 years old is not the same company from day one that it is today.
Right.
So you have to kind of go with the flow. But the people that are there the longest are the ones that have the hardest time with that change.
Right. Wait. Is it easier to start a company that no one's ever heard of and a product that just started, or like Borax? It's been here since.
You mean hiring is on a hiring side?
No, just how do you reform a company like that? You have to transition over into the. You have to get an app now. You have to have a website. Before that, people just bought my Tide or whatever.
Honestly, you don't have to, but if you don't, you're going to lose your business,
right?
You're not relevant anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I actually had a conversation with somebody I know that was in a meeting with some very high-level CMOs for some very large organizations and found out that, you know, they were talking about social media and how important it is, and apparently these people did not get it. They don't want to be involved. And I was like, well, that is why there are so many disruptor brands entering the marketplace and cutting into your market share.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, let's just talk about the millennial market. You know, in 5 years, 75% of your customers and your workforce will be millennials. In the next 5 years.
Love those kids.
Well, and the point is that there's a lot of misnomers, but you better understand their buying habits and their disruptive patterns, because what you just illustrated there was if you do things the old-fashioned way or if you're not willing to change, you're going to lose business and such. On the hiring, by the way, Suzanne Kretal is our guest today. She's with Seasoned Executive Search in Consulting. And we often talk about the candidate side, but today we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the hiring mistakes, sort of. What happens when you're sitting there with a hiring manager, as a hiring manager, because I know there's a lot of businesses that watch us, and you've got 50 resumes. This is like going to what I call the Cheesecake Factory problem. I haven't been to a Cheesecake Factory since that last video you saw, but there was 50 pages on that damn thing.
Yes.
So
it was overwhelming.
I'm like, okay, I'm starving, but this is not good. I'm not going to get fed anytime soon.
Yeah.
If I go, how do they, what do you do as a hiring manager to sift through some of that stuff?
You hire me and I do it for you.
No, honestly, is that
good
what it is?
Yes. Lady. Yeah.
No kidding.
That goes right on her sizzle reel.
Yeah, there you go. So that's the executive recruiter's job.
Yes, you're paying me for all the candidates you don't see. I'm taking that.
You're the search engine.
Yes.
You're the human search engine.
And you can just look at a resume, like if it's in crayon, you're going to say, probably not our best.
Probably not the best place
to start. But just by somebody who tries to doll one up a resume, or do you still do that now? You know, like put pictures on it or start with a headline or something catchy or I don't
know. You know, some people get very creative, especially if you're in like graphic design or, you know, user experience or something like that. People, I've seen some really beautiful creative resumes. Now, I still recommend that you don't put your picture on there. I mean, we're very, have certain laws in the United States, of course, that you're not supposed to
hire based on front.
Yeah.
You might get tossed out just because I don't even want to go there, right?
Yeah, but in Europe, it's very common, right? Yeah. Elsewhere, you always put your picture on. Yeah. So that's, you know, and I do get some people.
Hi there. Likes.
You brought up social media. Let's switch gears for a second. And when we come back, I want to talk about the social media side. We tapped on this last time a little bit, but I want to talk about the fact I had another conversation the other day, and it was with a radio executive that was going to hire somebody. Okay, and that somebody had nothing on their social media profile, and it was very suspect to the person that was going to hire. What they thought was, what are they trying to hide here?
Right. Oh.
We're going to talk about the importance of social media and both sides of that. Coming back with Suzanne. Suzanne Kretal is our guest. SeasonedSearch.com. SeasonedSearch.com is her website. And as you hear, she handles both sides of the equation, not only the candidate side, but she can also help the hiring manager side.
Well,
she's the human. She's the human Google of executive recruiting. Well, I would love to see. Like, maybe we throw a camera in an office of Suzanne interviewing you as a candidate.
Wow.
I would like to see that. I think everyone would like to see that.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Coming up. See you tomorrow.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid.
Hey there, live from the Jump Television Studios in sunny San Diego, California. Big Biz Show's on the air nationwide, coast-to-coast TV and radio. We've got a big week next week, Russ. We're going to be broadcasting out of Ale Smith Brewing next week. In the, I think we're also going to see Mike Hess in studio. Now, we have a couple beer guys coming in studio next week.
Mike Hess he's brewing to bring awareness to, what is it,
cancer.
Pediatric cancer. Yeah.
His, you know, an weird update story, because, man. Well, his daughter Keely lost her leg to cancer just last week.
Yeah.
And it's been a story, but Mike's been a fixture on the show to talk about the
well, that's good that we're back
across the country. But yeah, we'll be back there next week.
Thank you.
So, pretty good. All right, we're going to ignore the market for the rest of the day because my screen's bleeding today. It's just going to be one of those days today where Washington infects, international trade infects, and retail sales infect the stock markets. We won't pay attention to that. Suzanne Kretal is our guest today. She is the president and founder of Seasoned Executive Search. You can go to SeasonedSearch.com. There's a play on words there also. And I'm gonna make her tell us. What's the name of your food blog? Tell everybody your food blog.
No!
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
You're a national audience here. Tell
All
me
right.
your food
it's,
blog.
It's blandisnotanoption.com.
Blandisnotanoption.com.
Because who wants bland?
That's right.
Nobody
you are
bland
definitely
food.
Not bland.
You want everything seasoned.
So,
exactly.
So I've heard this before. In fact, in talk radio, I've used this as a topic before, where there's articles coming out that say that if one does not have a social media profile, some hiring managers find that suspect. Is that true? I mean, if you have a candidate that seems to have a good background, but no LinkedIn profile, no Facebook, no Instagram, the inference is, some of these articles say, that they're trying to hide something. Is this a deal killer? Is that a real thing?
I think you brought up two different things. Okay. There's some people that have very little on their social media feed, right? Let's just talk about LinkedIn, for example.
18 months ago was their last picture.
For example, my LinkedIn is... I don't need it. I don't use it. I'm not in that business.
Bingo.
You should.
Yeah. Bingo. And some people are just happy in their jobs. They're not looking.
Right.
So they're passive. So they don't care.
So is LinkedIn really? Is that what that's for? Really for looking? Is that mainly what that's for? LinkedIn, or is it connecting deals, or connecting jobs, or is it both?
Well, there's a lot of people that try to connect to make deals. In fact, I get hit up constantly, and it's quite overwhelming and annoying.
They're doing deals?
Well, just, you know.
selling you something.
Yeah, selling me something. You own your own firm. How do you generate leads? I can help you with that. It's like constant.
Yeah. Leave me alone.
So I'm not the only one, right? I think a lot of people listening could probably relate to that. And it's overwhelming and gets really annoying. So which is why you pretty much don't accept every person.
So the one side, there's people with not a lot on their social media, but then there's other side that have nothing. What does that tell you?
So nothing, I'd be a little bit more suspect of. Yeah. I mean, it's just, and I know some people, a really good friend of mine, she just doesn't want to be out there. And some people are like that. Yeah. You know, they don't
like
it.
No.
But
Russ loves to be out there.
Why not?
I hate to be out there.
Yeah, put it out there. Who cares?
I'm out there to promote.
I only put out there what I want out there. That's the other thing. Just
well, because everyone else is out there. But everybody knows what else is coming out there. With
that's
you.
Right. You can't have everything.
Like everything. Talk about coaching. You do not only are you an executive recruiter where you are the human search engine, but you coach a lot, both sides of the coin. You coach candidates and you coach hiring managers. Talk about that part
exactly.
of your business.
Exactly. So, you know, I never know when I'm going to have a job or a company is going to contact me and need a position filled. So, and I get contacted by people all the time. Can you help me find a job?
Sure.
I'm an engineer. Well, I don't really, work on engineer roles, but I certainly know how to interview and I know the key things to present to people and help them work through the process.
The do's and don'ts no matter what the occupation.
Exactly.
So,
there's
is there an art of the interview? Does it really exist?
It does.
Are there certain things that you want to know?
The dance?
Yeah, there's got to be a dance there, right?
I just want people to tell their story in a very impactful way so that the person that's listening on the other end of the phone is intrigued and wants to move them along in the process. That's the most important thing.
So on the phone, maybe the first one, but then now they're starting to do, Skype interviews.
I hate those. Yeah, I'm terrible. When you see your picture on the corner and you're just like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
We tell our guests all the time, don't look at the screen, look at the little blue thing. Look at the red line on the top or the green line on the top. You've always talked about articulating your experience and putting that right out front. I think that's a big mistake when people don't do that. When they're sitting in front of somebody who's interviewing them, they go off on a tangent. Tell me about give me the tangibles here. What did you do, right?
Well, first of all, I think the really important thing is to get an understanding of the organization. What is their mission statement? What's their culture?
Before you go.
You can find all this out online. Mm-hmm. And if you're struggling, you can always reach out to somebody there and ask for a 5-minute conversation.
Sure.
And you may have to ask for a couple of people to respond, but eventually somebody probably will. Mm-hmm. And then you use all those things because you have to prepare, right? The more you prepare, the more you've done in advance, the better off you are sitting in front of that hiring manager. And that's where I come into. I remind you of all that. Because again...
Well, let's talk about those tough conversations because that's the stuff you have to do. Because most... I would assume that if someone... Let's just take your nutritional supplement business. Let's say somebody is is a biz dev candidate.
Mm-hmm.
That person's been in that biz dev business for a while.
Sure.
Okay. He thinks he knows. She thinks she knows everything there is to know. That doesn't really matter at this point because you have to have the conversations about what's real for this particular, like one size does not fit all for every interview or interviewee, correct?
Correct. Yeah. I like to say, customize for everything. You cannot give the same speech, to the same hiring manager over and over again.
So a spinning bow tie that lights up?
Maybe not. No. But if you're interviewing for a comedy skit or whatever, go for it. I think that's great.
Russ is used to rejection as a comedian, and I'm used to rejection for a completely other reason in the last 10 years. But talk about the rejection side because you put someone up for 5 interviews. They're not potentially they're going to get all 5, but a lot of time they don't get all 5.
Opportunity to learn.
Yeah,
true.
Is that the tough one?
Well, even when somebody.
Why didn't I get it? I thought I was going to get it. I had it.
Well, sometimes I tell them that was a great first draft.
That's a rough one.
Wow.
Well, it's better than saying you were terrible.
Right.
But that's a great first draft. And that's what we do, right? If we're writing a paper or a piece, don't you have several drafts?
Yeah, some typos back. Yeah.
Those tough conversations, though, man. That cannot be the easy part of your job. When someone comes back and they either biffed it, didn't listen to you, did the one thing that you told them not to do, that's the part that's got to
be difficult. Yeah, the second draft, let's leave out that arrest history.
Yeah, exactly. Suzanne, thank you so much. Suzanne Kretal is our hiring expert. She's our executive recruiter in studio. In fact, all the guys are meeting with her afterwards. I have no idea why. Everybody who works here wants to have a conversation with her. I don't understand. And look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Blandisnotanoption.com. Look at how great that looks.
Oh, I'm hungry
She's coming
now.
On next week with a cooking segment.
Looks like that's a beet salad, maybe, or
you can go to
seasonedsearch.com
and blandisnotanoption.com.
I'm drooling.
You're tall. She's a renaissance woman.
I love her.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, I love her. Chris Janikas, our director. Jared Coleman, our assistant director. Curtis Madovich, our floor director, our floor cameraman, our composer, our keeper of keys. RussIsFunny.com because...
RussIsFatAndBald.com was taken.
Right. I'm Sully. You can catch me everywhere at SullySpeaks and BigBizShow.com. See you tomorrow.
Kid, up here.